Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
It is hard to believe the Dallas Mavericks season is over, and without a doubt, we anticipate it will be a very busy offseason and a myriad of questions that will have to be addressed. Of course, which free agents will they bring back, and re-signing head coach Rick Carlisle. Our strong and steady source for the Dallas Mavericks is their outstanding television play-by-play announcer, Mark Folliwell, a gentleman that we know bleeds blue. He's a competitive guy. He absolutely loves the Dallas Mavericks organization. And Mark, I'm going to ask you this. How difficult has it been for you over the past week? Just, you know, when that realization just settles in that, you know, Dallas was unable to achieve the results that they'd set out to, and that was defending a world championship.
Yeah, Alyssa, it's good to talk to you as always, and you know, it's definitely disappointing. Success creates expectations for the people that are involved, and of course for the people that watch. And so, when you don't live up to those expectations, when the team doesn't do that, then that's always certainly disappointing. Oklahoma City played a great series, though. I mean, major credit to them. And I think that you know, most of us watching the team this year realized that this was a unique season. The run to the championship, like any, was unique and special, but that even had more uniqueness and more of a special flair to it, for lack of a better term. And I think that, unfortunately, the defense of that same championship was also unique with the lockout and all the free agents and most of them not coming back. So it was a challenging year for the Mavs, but you know, I'm sure that none of them are probably going to say, oh, I just look at my ring and it makes it okay. I don't think that they, you know, are going to boil it down to just that. But I do think that you know, maybe that makes it a little bit easier, I suppose. And I think that everybody understands that there's a plan here to make it better as quickly as possible. And so I think that's one of the things that gives you hope going forward.
Well, we'll talk about the grand scheme of things here in just a minute, but I want to delve into that Oklahoma City series and just, you know, hypotheticals. I mean, if the Mavs would have been able to at least win one of those games in Oklahoma City, I mean, could they have turned this around?
Well, you would like to think so. The maddening stat from the Mavericks' perspective this year is that they played 4 regular season and playoff games at Oklahoma City, led in the final minute of all 4 of them, yet could win none of them. So that was just you know, an incredible number. And credit to Oklahoma City because, you know, there's this idea out there that they can't close games still, and that's just a complete fallacy. They were well above 500 team in closed games last season, and they were a well above 500 team in games decided by 5 points or less this year. They make plays at the end of games, I think, at a much higher level than is because they just assume that they're a young team and they can't close games. And that's just not the case. And they did a very good job of closing games. And look, maybe you're right that if they win one of those games up at Oklahoma City, the thing takes on an entirely different feel. But I said on the Ticket Post game show after the last night, I said, you know, the basketball gods give us and they take it away. And last year, en route to a championship, Kobe Bryant missed a shot that was an open 3 that would have won game 1 against the Lakers. So the bricks went the right way for the Mavericks last year. And in those particular games, up in Oklahoma City, they didn't go the right way. But you know, that's all part of it. And credit to Oklahoma City for being able to make that one more player that they needed to make to win those games.
Well, when you review that series, I mean, what do you think that you've seen differently from a year ago with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Obviously, Derek Fisher, I mean, he's a proven playoff guy. But what was the biggest difference with the Thunder this year when we faced him?
I thought that Russell Westbrook plays more under control. He did not play well coming down the stretch of the season. His numbers weren't very good in the last 14 games of the regular season. But he had a really, really good series and did not get out of control and force things too often and play too much hero ball. I thought his under control, smart play, take what the defense is giving me, I thought that his approach was the biggest thing that I saw that was a difference. And then you've got Harden, who erupted in the last game of the series, that he was such an important fourth-quarter weapon for Oklahoma City all year long. The first 3 games of the series were not indicative of what he was capable of doing. And then, you know, game 4, he erupted for a huge night that exceeded what you thought that he would bring to the table in a particular game. So Harden's more mature, and Durant's a more mature guy. I mean, you know, Durant last year in a game-winning shot situation settled for a 30-footer at the end of game 4 that was blocked by Marion. And in game 1, he puts the ball on the floor, he makes a move, and he gets a look at a 17-foot jumper rather than a 30-foot three-pointer. And ends up, you know, it was a tough shot, but he made it and won the game. So just their maturity, you know, Ibaka's a better player. than he was last year. Perkins was able to do some damage. They had role players step up that I thought that mattered in the series, and they did a better job of defending Dirk. And maybe nobody could defend Dirk last year, and maybe he was a bit more defendable this year, but they certainly did a better job in that regard as well.
And I'm going to jump in here because I was going to say that, you know, I reflected on what Rick Carlisle said going into the series as far as what the Mavs needed to do better. It was defensive transition. You know, you don't want to allow them to shoot uncontested jump shots and prevent them from getting to the free throw line, but who would have thought that, you know, the Thunder had improved so much defensively? Yeah, we know Serge Ibaka is a shot blocker, but it just seems like even all season long, not even in the Thunder series, but that the Dallas Mavericks really struggled shooting the basketball this year.
Well, it's the biggest difference from last year to this year was that the Mavericks were a high-level execution offensive team. They ranked very, very high in terms of the offensive numbers, top 10 in most categories last year. And this year they were a team that hovered around 19, 20, 21 in things like scoring, shooting percentage, offensive efficiency. There was a real tail-off in that regard this year. And Oklahoma City was a better defensive team this year. They were the third-best team in the West in defensive efficiency, just right behind Dallas. Memphis was number one, by the way, in the West in defensive efficiency. And all three of those teams were in the lower rung of the top 10 in the NBA in that stat. So Oklahoma City was definitely better on the defensive end of the floor, but all year long, shot-making, no question, Alyssa, shot-making was a problem for the Mavericks, and some of it was different personnel, and some of it probably was the chemistry because of the different personnel. Some of it was that Kidd wasn't on the floor nearly as much this year as he was last year and missed a lot of games. They were managing his minutes even more this year. Probably a lot of factors. And then, as Jeff Van Gundy likes to say, ultimately it's a make-or-miss league. And the Mavs had a lot of makes happen against them and a lot of misses on their ledger in late-game situations this year, and that hurt them.
What do you think the approach should be? I know they've got 10 free agents at the end of the season. Their contracts are up, July 1st? But as a player, I think of, you know, just pride. I want to be able to shoot the ball better, you know, and that means spending time in the gym. You can't wait until the month of September rolls around before you lace it up.
Sure. You know, I thought Derek Harper had a really, really interesting point that when it relates to playoff basketball, and he was talking about Brandon Wright. And I think that there's a bigger picture way to even look at this that I'm going to get to. But he said, in the case of Wright, when he didn't play very, very well in the first game of the series, he said, you know, when it comes to playoff basketball, you can't be getting ready. You have to be ready for playoff basketball when it starts. And if you're getting ready, then you've missed the bus at that point. And I think that's going to be an approach that everybody that's involved with the team will have a little bit more of a luxury to take that approach in terms of their off-season training, not to make excuses, but I think that a lot of players probably didn't do the things that they needed to do around the league to do their due diligence in terms of preparing for the season because there was a lot of doom and gloom in the forecast about whether or not there would be one in the middle of November. And then we go from the middle of November and the declarations of nuclear winter to less than 2 weeks later, hey, we saved the season and it's going to start on Christmas Day. So,
right.
So maybe some people, including people involved with the Mavericks, were caught a little bit off guard and didn't get to ramp up in preparation in the way that they typically do. But thank the Lord that whole situation is settled and behind us, and everybody will have, once they decide what teams they're on, will have an offseason that follows a normal arc in terms of how they prepare themselves, and perhaps everyone, the Mavericks and everyone around the league, will be better in that regard next year because of it.
Well, I'm glad you bring up the name Brandon Wright because he's a guy that I think has a lot of upside. I'd love to see him add some more muscle. I think he's like 210, 220, but how can he improve his game in the offseason? I just think that there was times and stretches. I mean, definitely the physicality of the game affected him against the Thunder, but he can come out there and really provide that spark.
Well, you know, I'm not a physiologist in terms of what he should do for it to put more weight on or what he needs to do from, you know, being a bigger, bulkier guy. You know, I think there has to be, in some regard, a realization of what he is, and I don't know that you want him putting on massive amounts of weight, even if his body will allow him to do so. You know, some body types are great at putting on the muscle mass and some aren't. And maybe he's just kind of a guy that, you know, his frame is not going to support that. So, you know, I think the risk you run is, you know, his greatest weapon is his leaping ability and his athleticism. And you know, I hope that you know, putting on a whole lot of weight wouldn't take that away from him, but you never know. So from a physical standpoint, sure, if he can bulk up a little bit, then that's going to help him. But still, I want him to be able to bring that leaping ability and that finishing ability that he has around the rim. And in terms of the rest of his game, I think getting some more range on his jump shot, he wasn't a guy that was going to shoot the ball much from outside of 12 to 15 feet. And so I think in the Mavericks offense, that they felt like that limited how much they could play him at the power forward spot. They felt like that confined him by in large part to being a small ball center. So developing some range will add to the versatility of his game and make him a guy who's a little bit more playable, if you will, at the power forward spot. So I think that's something that we'll look for him to come back and be better at next year.
You're listening to the familiar voice of Mark Folliwell, the Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer, and I want to hit on some of the key players that you think the Mavs perhaps should go after. But before we do that, the big mystery surrounding is when will Coach Carlisle, when will he sign? And Mark, I wanted to ask you, you've spent a lot of time around Rick. What has he meant to this organization beyond the X's and O's? I mean, what does he mean?
Oh, I think, look, Rick's a very, very valuable member of the organization. I'm a huge fan of his. I love his no-nonsense attitude towards coaching and dealing with the media. And, you know, I think he's a guy who is a great player's coach and that he is always going to err on the side of falling on the sword himself. And he's not going to be someone other than in rare cases who is going to say something negative about the players. You know, he's a guy who I would think, because he's going to go to the mat for you in the media, that would be a great guy to play for in that regard. And Rick just has a calmness about him that gives him that it factor. You know, a head coach has to have, there's an it factor and a certain charisma that goes along with the position, and it can manifest itself in any different number of ways. Some guys do it because of the fear factor. Some do it because people think they're a genius, like Bill Walsh, for example. You know, that would be an example mm-hmm. from the football world. And I think Rick has that mentality and that presence and charisma about him because he's just so cool, calm, and collected over there on the sideline. I've used this term before. It's like the old deodorant commercial, never let him see you sweat. And that's what I think Rick brings to the table in that regard. And you know, there was championship experience in him beforehand, and I think that meant a lot to the organization, and having his steadying hand on it last year was a big reason why they won, because he knew what everybody was going through as the run was building and growing and crescendoing into winning a title. So I have no reason to believe he won't be back. I sure hope he is, because I think that he's a very, very good guy at maximizing the tools that he has available when it comes to his players, and always says, you know, with the Mavericks, it's not about what you can't do, it's about what you can do.
Well, it is amazing when you watch Coach Carlisle on the sideline. He is, as you had just described him, I mean, he keeps his emotions in check, but he always has his players back. I mean, if those officials are going to miss the call, I mean, you ever seen a coach get so amped up before and want to go out there on the floor?
Yeah, that's the one time, you know.
I love it.
I say he's unflappable unless it's to get in the ear of an official, and then that's the one time that, you do see the emotion and the passion. And I think that, you know, I've heard him give interviews before, and he talks about, you know, that his nature, that people sometimes think his nature is that, you know, he's very even-keeled and doesn't get too high with the highs and low with the lows. But then he also is the first to add that he goes, but look, you have to show that you care, too. And so, you know, there has to be a balance between knowing when to be even-keeled and to not overreact, but also, you know, you have to show your players that you have their back and show them that you care and show them that you have passion. And we certainly saw that in the series a couple of times, especially in Game 3. I thought,
you bet.
Clearly he was probably pretty lucky he didn't get thrown out there. Maybe the officials realized they had missed a couple and let him go a lot longer than they might normally have let a coach go before throwing him out.
Just a few more minutes with Mark Folliwell this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can go to our radio website at eradiosports.com and listen to this interview in its entirety right there. And who do you think can go on and win the whole series, win the world championship this year, Mark?
Well, I think any number of teams could do it, of course. But I'm going to say that my prediction, once the Mavs got knocked out, I felt like, and still stand by this, is my prediction is the Lakers. I know that every team has flaws, and they certainly have their flaws, Alyssa, but I think that they also have a presence inside that is very, very valuable. And I think that they have a late game shot maker and someone who is a gamer and not afraid of the moment and willing to step up and take the big shot. And sometimes that means you're going to fail. But Kobe certainly steps up and makes a lot of big shots late in games. So, I think that they have the drive back that maybe was just a little bit of it was missing last year on the heels of two straight championships and three straight trips to the finals. And And I know there's compelling cases to be made for San Antonio and Oklahoma City and Miami, of course, over in the Eastern Conference. But if I'm going to have to make a prediction, I'm going to stick with the Lakers.
Well, we'll see how it all shakes out. And I've just got to say to you, I know that you are anticipating and looking forward to an 82-game schedule, not 5 games and 6 nights or 9 games and 12 days. I know that's going to be a little bit easier for you next year, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought, though, that to borrow again from Rick, I thought that the way he approached things this year was really, really good, and I tried to take a page from it as well, he prepared himself for the season knowing it was going to be unique, knowing it was going to be a challenge, but he embraced the challenge and wanted his team to embrace the challenge that there would never be another season like it. And so rather than dreading it, if you dread it, you're not going to get the best out of yourself. If you go into it embracing the challenge, then you're going to bring out the best in yourself. And as much as I could, I tried to do that this year. We're all looking forward to being a normal season, but whatever challenges and whatever uphill battles this unique schedule presented this year, to me, it was still a memorable season for me because, hey, lucky me, and I was tremendously blessed to get to travel around the league for a year as a member of and representing the defending champion. So, hey, that's a tremendous blessing. And whatever challenges, like I said, the season presented, there was that irreplaceable aspect of it that I'll remember forever, and I hope I get to do it again.
Oh, of course you will. We enjoy watching you so much. And, Mark, I didn't ask you, I mean, who do you think they will secure in the offseason? I got to ask you that real quick.
Well, who knows at this point? I think that look, you know, we all hear the names that are out there, the Deron Williams and all those sorts of things. There are some interesting and intriguing big guys that are out there. More than anything, Alyssa, I'm just looking forward to the fact that this is going to be the first ever offseason where I've been associated with the Mavericks, and more importantly, where Mark Cuban's ever owned the team, that they've had cap room and that they've had that
right
flexibility. And so it's going to give them the chance to do some things that they haven't been able to do in the past, and hopefully they can bring the kind of players in that are capable of building the bridge to the next era of great Mavericks basketball. Not that this one is finished, but these guys can be part of the end of the Dirk era, and then, you know, be able to set out and launch their own era whenever that Dirk era comes to a close. So I hope they get guys in here that can be part of this thing for a long time and be part of that next era.
Mark, our time is up. Where can all of our listeners go and check out perhaps some of the work that you're going to be doing throughout the summer? Because we got to have our Mark Folliwell fill.
Well, I'm going to do a few FC Dallas games this summer. A whole lot more of those will be coming down the pike in July and August because I've got a couple of games here, and then they're going to have a little bit of a 2 or 3 extended week layoff because of international competitions and U.S. Open Cup competitions. But there'll be a lot of FC Dallas games that I'm doing in the summer. Again, more of them in July and August, and hopefully some filling in. I'm locked in for a couple of days and maybe some more filling in on with my good friends at Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Wouldn't be where I am today without my experiences there back in the day. So it's always nice to get to reconnect with those fellows. And I'll be doing some of that as well, hopefully over the course of the offseason.
We always enjoy listening to you post up Seabass, right?
Yes, there you go.
Throwing those elbows.
So few people I can do that to. So. But hey, you know, and the other thing about it is if any major news comes up in the offseason, of course, I'll be right here on the Big E radio show, you know, the fastest hour in sports,
fair,
as they like to say. So, fastest hour in radio, right?
Fastest hour in radio, that's right, Mark.
So if you need it, please pick up the phone and call at any point in time, and we'll kick around whatever's going on with the Mavs or the NBA this offseason.
Sounds great, Mark. You take care. Don't get too much sun, okay?
Okay, you got it.
Take
care.
We're going to step aside. Much more in just a minute. Bill Pennington, sports columnist with the New York Times. Stay close.